You can believe that Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit and still hate this story. I, for one, don't really care for this story. But usually, it's the stories I don't like where I learn the most. It's kind of a funny dynamic that way, and perhaps it's because I must wrestle harder with the story. And this story is one of them. I really don't like this story at all. And part of why I don't like it is because what we've done with it historically. Historically, this story has been used to participate in patriarchal dominance of women and sexism in our culture. You know, the idea is that Mary chose the better part, which is to listen, to learn, to think, and Martha chose the lesser part, which is to care, feed people, care for people, nurture people. And then, so we've labeled one better and one lesser, and then we tell women their job is to take the lesser part, and then we critique women for being obsessed with things that are unimportant. It's a weird catch-22 that happens all the time, and that history is part of why I don't like this story, because we've done that so frequently. But we have to pay attention to the fact, it often gets ignored, that this story follows right upon the Samaritan story we talked about last week. And in the Samaritan story that we talked about last week, we talked about othering, making someone else the bad other, and how that story, in all its complexity, challenges our temptation to make others bad and us good. And so when we look at the sort of traditional interpretation of this story and how it has been used, we see that our interpretation of this story has made women the bad other. And right there's reason enough to cast aside that interpretation. So let's think about it for a minute. This story follows upon the Samaritan story. In the Samaritan story, the Samaritan took care of the man who had fell among robbers. He bandaged wounds, got him food, got him into a hotel where he could stay, paid the innkeeper to care for the man while he had to be away. All of those are the kinds of things that Martha was doing, making sure people are fed, making sure folks are cared for. So it does not make sense then in the Mary and Martha story to read this as a lowering of the priority of caring for others. That just doesn't make sense. Why would the evangelist put that story right after the Samaritan story, if that's the interpretation? I think that there's a different point here, and a useful point at that. I think the better part that Mary chose was to be fed herself by Jesus and his teaching. And the implication is, especially when we take the two stories together, is that we are supposed to be fed by Jesus so we can go out and feed others in his name. Jesus doesn't need us to feed him. God doesn't need us to defend God. There are lots of things that we don't need to do. And in fact, in the patriarchal sexist interpretation, the thing we often don't allow women to have is time to nurture themselves. And we call that selfishness. So forgetting that interpretation, we look at this story and we see in it something that's really quite important and countercultural in some ways, which is the need that we have to be fed so that we can go out and feed others in Jesus' name. That's the challenge, isn't it? Mary chose to listen to the teacher and to be fed by his teaching. And that would give her what she needs to go out and feed others. That's the only way you can put the Samaritan story and the Mary and Martha story together and have it make any sense at all, is to recognize that part of what is a significant part of our spiritual discipline is being fed so that we can go out and be agents of Christ's love. It's so easy to get up in the morning and be so in a hurry and frantic that we forget to pray. We forget to have some kind of morning prayer where we thank God for another day and ask God to be there to guide us through the day and help us to face the challenges we face and help us to share the love that God has so richly given us in Christ. Those morning prayers feed us for the ministry of our day. Same in the evening. Sometimes we're so tired at the end of the day, we fall into bed and fall right to sleep without having the opportunity or taking the opportunity to sit still for a moment and listen to the divine voice, to say thank you for the blessings of the day, to ask forgiveness for our mistakes in the day, to let our souls be fed so that we can be prepared to go out and minister in Christ's name. There is an important part of Christian spirituality that is about Christian receiving, not just Christian giving. We've been talking about this in our book study this week. When we gather for liturgy, when we come to this place, we come here to be fed and sent out to do the work that Christ has given us to do. And so we gather for liturgy and we start with a procession. And we start with a procession. And the reason we do that is not because Episcopalians love a parade. We start with a procession because we want to remind ourselves that in the liturgy we are going somewhere. And the place we are going is Christ's table. And we encounter Christ in the liturgy of the word, and we learn that he journeys with us. And in the liturgy of the table, we gather around the table. We put on the table ourselves, our world, and everything with our offerings and our gifts of bread and wine. And we pray for God to bless the whole world, no exceptions. And we're fed. With the body and blood of Christ. And then at the conclusion of the liturgy, we have another procession to remind us that the liturgy then moves us out into the world, and the deacon gives us a dismissal, which is essentially a liturgical version of, okay, get out of here and go do something. And we go out into the world as bearers of the blessing for which we just prayed. Fed and prepared to go out there as bearers of the blessing. So when we come here, we come here to be fed. Then we go forth to feed others. That is an important dynamic, and it's important for us to understand that. Two things can happen. People don't come and don't come and don't come, and then they don't have the resources, the energy, the wherewithal to go to do the ministry that falls in front of them out in the world. Or the other thing happens is people come and they get fed and they get fed and they get fed and they don't do a lot out in the world. And all of a sudden they find themselves doing something they never imagined they would do. And they come to me and they say, Randall, why was I doing this? Why was I praying with this person? Or taking this person to a shelter or to the hospital or whatever. And I say, because you've been in here eating all this time. And it's now time to go out and do. It happens. And I think that the importance of the story is that both Mary and Martha are models for us. But we have to get them in the right order. We have to be fed like Mary was choosing in order to go out and do ministry like Martha's. And you can't do one or the other all by itself. It takes both. I think that's the way to read this story. I think that matches the spiritual dynamics of our lives. It also doesn't replicate sexism, which has been so rampant in our history. We really have to learn to let ourselves be fed. We have to learn to receive in order that we can go out and give. And we're supposed to do both of those. And Mary and Martha are models for us.